Happy Sunday. My name is Jim DeJunis, and I'm reading to you from the North Carolina Reading Service. The name of our program is called Reflections. The content of this program is intended for the blind and print impaired. We are so excited to be back on air. It's the first time in about 8 weeks. We are truly, truly blessed. As I said, the name of our program is Reflections, and what we do for the next 30 minutes is we'll read some portions of the Holy Bible, both the New and Old Testament. We read a daily devotional called Jesus Calling, written by Sarah Young. And then from time to time, we'll do some other words of other well-known theologians and Christian writers. And as we have done for the last 9 or 10 months, we're going to start this episode with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that our audience and their families and loved ones are all safe and are going to be renewed by your words this morning. Lord, we are so grateful to be here, and we're so grateful for the love that you have shown us throughout these trying times, these times where hopefully we are able to reflect and reprioritize what's truly important. And we learned from your Son on several occasions that loving you with all our hearts, minds, and souls is the greatest command, and then loving others as ourselves as well. So, Father, bless these words, bless our audience and their ears, that they may hear them, live them, and share them in your holy name. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, thank you again for joining us. We're going to start this morning with a reading from Sarah Young, who writes a very good daily devotional, one that I've been partaking in for a number of years. And today's date is May 24th, and she shares with us with these words: "Bring me your mind for rest and renewal. Let me infuse my presence into your thoughts. As your mind stops racing, your body relaxes, and you regain awareness of me. This awareness is vital to your spiritual well-being. It is your lifeline, spiritually speaking. There are actually more than four dimensions in this world where you live. In addition to the three dimensions of space and the one of time, there is the dimension of openness to my presence. This dimension transcends the others, giving you glimpses of heaven while you still reside on earth. This was part of my original design for mankind. Adam and Eve used to walk with me in the garden before their expulsion from Eden. I want you to walk with me in the garden of your heart, where I have taken up permanent residence." And this is supported by a couple scriptures, one being Genesis 3:8. "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden." And then Psalm 89:15, which is one of my favorite verses of the entire Bible, says, "Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord." Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who have walked in the light of your presence, O Lord. Again, that's Psalm 89, verse 15. Well, I am so thrilled to be here. I'm so thrilled to read some scripture with you and for you. It is back on March 29th when we last read together, and at that time we were reading Luke chapters 8 through 10, and we were introduced to several very important aspects of Jesus' ministry. One of the things we were introduced to was it was very clear that Jesus both wanted and needed women in his ministry, and we learned about this very early in chapter 8. The second thing we learned in Luke 8 through 10 was we also appreciate Jesus' use of parables to communicate the vision of the kingdom of God. Thirdly, Jesus demonstrated his power over nature in calming the storm, in serving and sending demons into pigs, in feeding 5,000 men with 2 fishes and 5 loaves. And we also learned about his transfiguration. Lastly, we learned what was the most important thing, And that's when he was visiting with Martha and Mary. Mary chose spending time with Jesus, while Martha was allowing life to kind of get in her way. And Jesus kind of told them, hey, it's really important. Mary has chosen the right thing, the proper thing. And that was to be sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his words, being in his presence. And we all have that opportunity on a day-to-day basis, every single one of us. So we're going to do that this morning. We're going to sit at the feet of Jesus as we listen to his words in the books of Luke. And this morning we're looking to read Luke 11 through 14. So let's start, chapter 11. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say this, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door is already locked, and my children are already in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and he and him who knocks on the door will be opened. Those are some beautiful verses, and that is actually our first reflection of the day. That is, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Are you knocking? Are you knocking on God's door? Are you knocking on the door of Jesus Christ in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening? Are you seeking him in the advice that you need throughout the day? He tells us right here, if we're seeking him, we will find him. If we knock, the door will be opened. If we ask, we will receive. But we have to believe that, and the first thing we have to do is take action, and that action is towards Jesus. The action is towards God. I find myself not very Christ-like in that regard. There are many times I'm making decisions without consulting him. There are many times I'm doing things without saying, what would God do? What would Jesus do? You remember those old wristbands back in the day, WWJD, what would Jesus do? We should really take that to heart. We should really, whenever we have any decision, not just big decisions, not just medium decisions, even small decisions, God wants us to consult with him, seek his wisdom, and walk down his path. We pick up with verse 11. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give through the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus was driving out a demon that was a mute. When the demon left, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowd was amazed. But some of them said, by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, he is driving out demons. Others tested him by asking him a sign from heaven. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, any kingdom divided against itself will surely be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. If Satan is divided against himself, how can his kingdom stand? I say this because you claim that I drive out demons by Beelzebub. Now, if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your followers drive them out? So then, they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own home, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places, seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house swept, clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you. Jesus replied, Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. As the crowds increased, Jesus said, This is a wicked generation. It asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites, so also will the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now one greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden, or under a bowl. Instead, he puts it out on a stand, so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, your whole body is full of light. But when they are bad, your whole body is full of darkness. See to it, then, that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light, and no part of it is dark, it will be completely lighted, as when the light of the lamp shines on you. Now, that's a hard verse to hear, a hard verse to read, reading to a blind and print-impaired audience. This is not a literal meaning, but it is how we see things spiritually, not just physically. So if we certainly can have light in our hearts, we can certainly have light in our lives. It may not be sunlight, but the more important light is the light of Jesus Christ. And that is a heart thing, not an eye thing. So my encouragement here is to kind of replace with the word heart where eyes are. And if you do that, there's great hope and great encouragement. When Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him, so he went in and reclined at the table. But the Pharisee, noticing that Jesus did not first wash before the meal, was surprised. Then the Lord said to him, Now then, you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But give what is inside the dish to the poor, and everything else will be cleaned for you. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, or all other kind of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, because you are like unmarked graves, which men walk over without knowing it. One of the experts in the law answered him, Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us also. Jesus replied, And you experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift a finger to help them. Woe to you, because you build tombs for the prophets, and it was your forefathers who killed them. So you testify that you approve of what your forefathers did, they killed the prophets, and you build their tombs. Because of this, God in his wisdom said, I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and others they will persecute. Therefore, this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets that has been shed since the beginning of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be held responsible for all of it. Woe to you, experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who are entering. When Jesus left, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to oppose him fiercely and to besiege him with questions, waiting to catch him in something he might say. Chapter 12. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered, so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after the killing of the body, has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are there not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs on your head are numbered. Do not be afraid, you are worth more than many sparrows. I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But he who disowns me before men will be disowned before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. Someone in the crowd asked him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my existing barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up there for many years. Take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' Then God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God." I'm going to repeat that. I don't have this as a reflection, but it's a great verse, and that's verse 21. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. Verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Before I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock. For your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give them to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will nowhere not wear out, but treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted. There is no thief that comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. I apologize. I missed that reading. Messed it up a little bit. I'm going to reread that and have my finger on the page to turn it a little more promptly. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give them to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your heart? Is it on treasure? Is it on a thing? Is it on a person? My ask is, let's reflect on where it should be. As I said earlier in the reading, it should be on the Lord Jesus Christ. It should be on loving and serving God with all our hearts, minds, and souls. And then if we do that, then loving our neighbor. Verse 35. Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, and they immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose masters find them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or to everyone? The Lord answered, Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant who the master finds doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, My master is taking a long time in coming, and he then begins to beat the manservants and maidservants and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of the servant will come on a day and when he does not expect him, and at that hour he is not aware of it. He will cut him into pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does nothing deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. I'm going to repeat that. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Do you think I can bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against one another. Three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Jesus said to the crowd, When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled on him on the way. Or he may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. chapter 13. Now there were some present at the time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all of the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Then he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree, planted it in his vineyard, and he went to look for it, A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of his vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year. I will dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up. When Jesus saw her, he called for her and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put her hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Then Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and all the birds of the air perched on its branches." Again he asked, "What shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like the yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it all worked through the dough." Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I do not know you or where you come from.' Then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you, and you taught us in our streets.' But he will reply, 'I don't know you or where you came from. Away from me, all you evildoers.' There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when we see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. But you yourselves will be thrown out. People will come from the east and west, north and south, and they will take their places in the feast of the kingdom. Indeed, there will be those who will be first, and the first will be last." Well, we've gone through our first 30 minutes after our incident with COVID-19. Please be sure to listen to us again next week. My name is Jim DeJunis, and I've been reading to you for the North Carolina Reading Service. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Peace, and may God bless you.